Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll slay you in the end, my friend.
Welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind kind of podcast. This week, Tribulation Force, Book 2, Chapters 9 and 10. I am your global co-host, Tim Lanning, and joining me, as always, is Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? It's a Thursday afternoon.
Wow, crazy.
I'm fucking off of work a little early to record this podcast.
Shh, don't say that.
Don't tell my bosses.
Don't say that.
Don't tell them.
It's Saturday, baby.
I don't have that much work to do right now. It's okay.
Just stop talking. Wow. We're trying to get, episodes banked before GeeklyCon, so it's been such a joy to record these back to back.
Yeah.
Because I just need to get through this book.
Well, and honestly, it was killing me to not keep reading after this most recent chapter.
So are we over halfway done?
We're over halfway done!
Wow.
This one's going real fast. There's only 19 chapters in this book as well, so.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, we only have 9 chapters left.
I'm crying.
But don't we want to get to the... We got to get through this shit.
Yeah, we got to keep going, man.
I need some stuff to start happening. Because I am getting very bored of the relationship stuff. It does appear that after this chunk, hopefully that's going to get a little better.
I'm going to say, we're back, folks. The relationship shit's over. We have Chloe back.
I
think we have Chloe back.
We'll have to see.
As much as we're ever going to have Chloe, I think she's back. We're finally through her crazy hysteria.
They're like, through the like, well, we need to create some sort of conflict here.
Yeah.
So let's just make it a big misunderstanding.
Out of the three main characters, which one should be the emotional crazy one?
I wonder which one. Probably the girl.
Yeah, it's again, if you approach the book with like reading Space Alien or like from a different world, they really thought this. This encapsulates them. I think it's pretty fun. That being said, it's absolutely a psyop, and I can't believe, you know, what it does to your brain to constantly have media like this.
Just reinforcing, like, women are crazy. You're so crazy. You're irrational.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think that is very much a thing that I even used to think about myself when actually, after years and years of, like, being in the workplace, I'm sorry, but often men are the emotional ones.
So true.
And they did not like it when I would say, this thing you want to do does not make sense. They would get very upset about that.
How dare you not take my man feelings into account?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how dare I tell you that your plan has not been thought out when your plan has not been thought out?
Maybe you should respect your elder, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, sweetie.
Chapter 9.
We pick right back up.
Hell yeah, let's go.
With the Buck and Chloe confrontation.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Which again, thank God, we've got to get this dealt with. So if you remember, at the end of the last chapter, we find Buck finally drops the bomb that he did not send those flowers.
I didn't freaking send those flowers, toots.
And Chloe is still kind of skeptical, like, okay, we'll see. She's obviously still, like, extremely on the defensive and, like, ready to lash out at any second.
The first part of this chunk is really annoying, but, you know, if they, I don't know, maybe put some vagueness into it, because right now we know everything from Buck's point of view, so we only have his side. We know he's not in the wrong at all. So at this point, Chloe just is so annoying.
Yeah,
and
because she's just so wrong. And it's like, where this actually, you know what? Actually, I'm going to hold off.
Okay.
There's a thought that I'm holding in my brain and I'm going to wait for it.
Okay.
So, yeah, Chloe's still kind of skeptical, and Buck's like, okay. Let's, like, step back for a second and, like, acknowledge what was going on from the beginning. Let's go through this chronologically.
Yeah, let's have the classic DTR.
Yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks, you know. They hash it out, and what I thought was a surprisingly candid back and forth.
Yes.
Except for Chloe the whole time being like, he's saying all this, and I'm saying all this while he has a fiancé.
Right. Like, she's just so, like, not on the same page of facts.
So, under that circumstance, she's being surprisingly rational about all this.
It's just, unfortunately, her first assumption was, did not make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, okay, she says fiancé, like, but why? Like, she could not, like, envision any other, like, possible, like, reason for what she was seeing. Like, yeah. Like, no, she was so certain that she was right. And it actually comes up again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's one thing that I rolled my eyes at later in the chapter. But what are you going to do? But still, she's kind of just like, hey, I respect it, but I don't want to be in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah, she keeps it like, I don't want to share you. And Buck is like, what the fuck is she talking about?
Talking about her dad?
But one thing I want to call out, so Buck is like kind of taking her through his thought process and why he like kind of cooled off a little bit. And he's like, you know, like the whole age difference and your age. And Chloe's immediately like, so there it is. It's not your age. It's the problem. It's mine. Like, oh my God, Chloe, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that was horrible.
What's the difference between your age and his age? The problem is the difference between them, which is neither of your fault.
Mm-hmm.
She's being hysterical.
The idea that
she's being irrational.
Absolutely. The idea that she said, oh, it's my age, not yours, is so fucking crazy that you absolutely gotta give it up. 5-star writing for creating such a monster.
Yeah. Buck pulls a, unfortunately, I think, justified Rayford here and is like, can you shut the fuck up and let me talk for a second?
Shut up.
Without interrupting me?
Yeah, maybe we were too harsh on Ray. It sounds like Chloe's just annoying.
Yeah, she sounds pretty annoying. So, this is the only way the Buck can, like, get his fucking thoughts out.
Yeah, he's like, hey, this is gonna sound condescending and maybe a little parental, but you're not letting me fucking finish a sentence, so just-
He says fuck, too. Yeah. He says fuck. He's being serious. He's serious. Like, I know.
God damn it.
I'm gonna have to pray and ask for forgiveness, but I need to say fuck.
I'm doing a quick cuss.
Yeah.
You need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so this is where Buck is like-
You keep talking about not sharing me. Is there something you need to ask me or accuse me of before I can go on here?
Cut to Rayford, who's laying very still in bed, trying to eavesdrop. Which, again, this part is very funny.
Rayford saves this chapter.
100%. And I cannot believe it.
He said, I mean, his bits last chapter were great. His bits this chapter
were
great.
He's really being
Pete. It's so fucking
he's
funny.
He's being Pete Dad.
Yeah.
Like, the best kind of dad, like, oh, like what's going on?
Right.
And I'm invested in this drama that's happening in my house.
This is why the book is fun to read, is because weird shit like this of fucking Rayford being quiet as a church mouse.
Like, I just mean, he's like in his bed with the covers pulled up, like,
he's like, the first thing he heard was Buck screaming. I was like, that's right, put her in her place.
Yeah, he's like, he heard it and silently cheered. Which, unfortunately, he is right.
Yeah.
Again, like, very sexist, very misogynist.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this case, Chloe's being shrill and true.
She was raised too willful.
She was raised too willful. Rayford yells down to them, did you two either speak up or just whisper? If I can't hear, I'm going to sleep.
Amazing.
Hilarious. A+, no notes, the best response
I mean, how can you critique this? It's just like, who would say that? Why would they be like, all right, Dad, come down and be here?
That's the platonic dad response to it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And both Buck and Chloe, like, even Chloe's, like, kind of smiling at it.
Yeah.
Like, Buck is, like, trying to stifle a laugh about it. It's funny.
This breaks the ice a little bit,
I think. I think so, too. It gets them to, like, take it down a notch.
Rayford rocks.
I can't believe I'm saying Rayford rocks.
Yeah, here we are, though.
Like, I mean, he's such a, like, fuddy-duddy in so many ways, but he's a pretty good dad in these chapters,
when he goes hardcore dad mode, I think he's much better than when he's being honorable pilot.
Yeah, I hate his. Yeah, I agree. When he, I want him to stop being a pilot, actually. Because everything about his, like, pilot stuff is annoying. God.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
But when he's being a dad, it's pretty cool. So, Buck tries to tell Chloe about how that afternoon he couldn't stop thinking about her while he was at the office. And Chloe's like, oh, you saw me at the Global Weekly office? And he's like, what are you talking about?
Fuck?
I was not there. You do not know where I was. You think you do, obviously.
It's like, well, I saw Alice. And you're like, oh, her? He's like, yeah, you know. Like, I don't even know her last name. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Chloe's like, do you really expect me to know, to think that you don't know her last name? And, then Chloe finally admits that she saw Alice at Buck's condo.
And then the Tetris block slides into place.
Da 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 da. Yeah. And Buck's like, okay. I see what's happening here.
And as annoying as Chloe is and as, like, embarrassing that this situation is, I can see what happens next making sense, where Buck is basically just, like, all form of, like, frustration and anger gone, and just,
right,
like, kind of, like, pitying her based off a comedy of errors. Sure, it's the world's worst episode of Frasier, and,
yes,
and I don't respect it,
a D-plus version of,
yeah,
Frasier.
It's like if, yeah, Frasier based off misogynistic ideas about women.
And it's Christian.
Where it's like, I would watch that show, actually, if decided. Instead of Niles, it's just a crazy woman. Like, the Frasier character says exactly what he's doing, and the woman's like, wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah. That sounds like a bad show, Tim. I don't think that sounds fun.
I'm trying to make money.
So, once it comes out that, like, no, Alice has her own fiancé that she was talking about. She actually works with me and was just dropping some stuff off.
Yeah.
And I was not even there. Chloe is like, oh, I fucked up so bad.
Yeah, and she, like, kind of folds in on herself. I was like, oopsies.
She's like, literally says, Buck, I'm so embarrassed, she moaned, and the tears came. So she knows she fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
And so now back to the thought that I was holding in my brain earlier, which is that, as an aficionado of your relationships, your Am I the Asshole, the most cathartic thing that can happen on those is when someone writes in and they're being absolutely out of pocket and everyone's like, you're being crazy, Frankenstein. And they come back and they're like, okay, you were right. I was being really bad. I have apologized for my actions. That's slightly above when the people will not admit they were wrong and they dig their heels in. And I love to see that too. But it is, there's something really cathartic about, like, when someone is being, like, insanely wrong and then finally being like, okay, I was insanely wrong. That's my bad. Because I get really hung up on that. Like, when people, like, won't admit that they're wrong about something, it makes me, like, so deeply furious inside of myself, which is why I think I was getting so annoyed at Chloe. Because it's just like, Chloe, you don't have all the facts. And you think you do, and you're wrong.
And she didn't even try to be like, oh, well, this happened because of you. No, she didn't say any of that.
No, she's just like, nope, I fucked it up.
Buck
I was wrong.
Is like, no, I get it. It's, you know, it's my fault too because I didn't tell you. But I'm like, I don't know, man.
I mean, he definitely should have told her that he was not going to be at his condo when he literally invited her to his condo. And then, like, because remember, we talked about this. I was like, why would you not just say, hey, by the way, I'm going on a work trip?
And again, we're playing off of, like, 1995 rules. Where obviously you can't text, but which also means that it's not that weird that she would just show up quote unquote unannounced.
And it makes it really weird that he wouldn't let her know, exactly, hey, I'm actually not here. Cause they got phones in 1995.
An email.
They probably got pagers.
Yeah, I think that's come up before.
Yeah, I think so. I think some people have pagers. I don't know if Chloe has one.
I feel like we can give him a slight pass, what with him dealing with, you know, the Antichrist.
Okay, fair enough. He has some things on his mind.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that this is over.
Oh my God. I was like, thank God.
This was terrible.
Please let's move past this.
Yeah. I mean, she does have a little bit of like, she swings to the other side of being embarrassed. Like, oh, you must hate me. Get out. I don't deserve love.
I look horrible and I'm crying now. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, Buck's like, oh, I like would like to say, and she's like, no, come back. I don't want you to see me like when I'm, you know, unpresentable. And he's like, well, I'd like to see you when you are presentable. Like, all right, here we go. Here it starts now.
Let's go. The
Buck charm is being put on.
It is working. We love it.
It is working. So Chloe runs up the stairs to go change into real people clothes.
Which is hilarious because Rayford has moved from the bed to the top of the stairs.
He's like a child, like eavesdropping on like when the parents like have friends, adult friends over.
But since Chloe ran so fast, he got caught.
It's so funny. And she's all like, Dad, you're awful. And he's like, I'm awful? Look what you did to Buck. Way to hang a guy before he's tried.
Get him.
Get her ass.
Get her ass.
She deserved it.
Yeah, she's like, did you know he was coming? Yes.
Yes, I did.
Even though you said yes.
Yeah.
And you're welcome. And yeah, he doesn't back down.
He did it. He did the correct thing in this situation.
It was like, wait, did you take that shower just so I had to get the door? Got it.
Like, you just got so, like, maneuvered.
Yeah, and that's what...
By both Buck and your dad.
When you're being so literally hysterical, the two men in your life work together to calm your ass down.
Yeah, sometimes they need to ignore what you say you want and just give you what you need.
That's so true. And that is true sometimes. Unironically.
Sometimes it's a little bit true.
But also not.
But it's not.
But it's not.
You real listen, you're taking a gamble. Yeah. If you go against it, this time it worked out. But if you go against what someone says,
that's
it probably
you,
won't work out.
We love it. It's so funny. And he's like, well, I did a good thing. I am a good dad.
Yeah.
Time to go back to bed.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to pray for Chloe and Buck. And I thought it was kind of interesting that he's like, he prays that they'll be good for each other, even if it doesn't end up in a romantic relationship.
Other than Chloe being fucking crazy... these two chapters are surprisingly well written.
I'd say that.
They're very readable. And
they went really fast. Because it was funny because
And they have some conversation, like, between Rayford saying what you said about, hey, let them be good for each other. And then immediately followed up with, and if that's just friends, perfect, because we are such have a good thing going. And then, like, later in the chapter, or beginning of next chapter, I forget which, where they talk about some other discussions, that was like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I found it interesting, because when I read these chapters, they went so fast, I was like, oh, they're short. But then when I went to take notes, I'm like, there's a lot of notes in here. So I guess they weren't that short, they just
I mean,
faster.
That's the thing, is like, I think from this point on, baby, we're in the jet fuel that is the Left Behind series.
Can I be real that, like, I honestly kind of want to, the second we get done recording, go read the next chapters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we'll see. I want, because there's a specific cliffhanger that I do want to know what happens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About Bruce, which we'll get there. We'll
oh,
get
yeah,
there.
That's weird.
I want to know what the fuck is going on with
that. Yeah, it comes up a little bit later, but it's basically who sent...
Which,
the flowers.
Which, actually, we're about to get into that.
Yeah.
So, Buck and Chloe... So Chloe comes back downstairs. She's got real people clothes. But she's got cool, like, casual girl clothes on. She's got a sweatshirt and jeans, and she's wearing her hair in a ponytail with a ball cap.
Yeah. I like that they just said everything.
Every single thing.
She puts her hair up.
She's got sneakers and a hat. And she has a coat on.
Sweater
and
a coat. Yeah. She's chased.
And she's wearing sneakers. Yeah. So, she's like, not a stupid, you know, girl that's like, I need to put my makeup on. She's sensible.
She, like, splashed her face.
She's beautiful without makeup.
So, in order to get away from their horrid eavesdropping father, Chloe is like, let's just go for a walk.
In our suburban neighborhood.
Yeah. Which... I believe 3 weeks ago was super dangerous due to
literally, didn't they have, like, someone, like, try to break in
to
their house? And, like, they were implying that, it was, like, fucking martial law out there.
But I think things have calmed down. Yeah, things have calmed down for sure. But that just kind of made me laugh. But it was like, okay, Buck, you can't sleep on my front porch. Let's go for a walk.
Let's go for a walk. So Chloe tries to apologize again, and I like Buck's response here, too. It pissed me off. Can you read what Buck says?
Chloe... Don't. We've got only 7 years. We can't live in the past. We've both stumbled this weekend, and we've apologized. So let's be done with it.
I feel like that's because, like, listen, There's no time to dwell on this shit. Like, yeah. It's been dealt with. Like, I understand there's the ambient, like, you know, residual, I feel bad that right. I fucked up so much. But
it's like, we both agree that I'm right and you're wrong. We
so
move
let's just
on.
Leave it there. Let's leave just it leave there. It there. But now that Chloe knows that Bub didn't send her the flowers, she's like, well, who the fuck did send flowers? And her suspicion is Bruce, because he's so damn lonely.
Hey.
He, like, bring up his loneliness, like, again, right. like, so many times.
Owning him so bad.
Yeah, he's
if Bruce is a real guy and he read the book, like, oh, come on,
my
man.
My God, come on, stop freaking roasting me so bad.
Did you
bad.
Call me schlubby?
Yeah, why did you talk about how much I was sweating?
And Chloe's like, I'm so sorry for jumping to conclusions, Buck. Well, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to jump. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to jump to another conclusion, and that's that Bruce is all about me, and it's going to be so awkward.
And that's why he asked her to work with him, because remember that is happening. And that's when Buck's like, that sounds like another assumption.
Yep. And it's like, ha, 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 ha,
ha. Oh, man. Okay.
Okay, let's get it.
Oh, my God. I honestly forgot for a second where this was going. We're about to get into some very juicy virginity talk right now.
Yeah, I cannot believe I listened to this in the car with my parents.
That sounds so horrible. So horrible. So, they're just kind of talking. I don't even remember, like, what exactly leads into this, but Buck admits that he got dumped by a girl in grad school because he didn't make a move on her fast.
Yeah,
because
I think Chloe's, like, you know, just talking about you never got married, want to even think about getting married or you didn't have a relationship, stuff like that.
And then the conversation turns to experience.
Because when he says he didn't move fast enough, my assumption was proposed.
That's what I thought, too. But that, they make clear very soon that that is not what they mean.
Yeah.
Because Buck says, would you rather hear that I have all kinds of experience because I'm such a cool guy or that I'm a virgin? Mm. And Chloe's basically like, I'd rather hear that you're a virgin. And he says, bingo.
Bingo. And then it's so fucking funny because, like, Chloe's like, what?
Like, I'm sorry. This is literally unbelievable to me. You are 30 motherfucking years old and you're not a Christian and you're a virgin still?
Right. Living the world that he lives in and where he literally says that he, like, hangs out with, like, I don't know, movers and shakers. Like, obviously there's a million people that are virgins at 30 and above, but it's like,
Not this guy. No, he's been around so many people. He's traveled so much. I just, like, really? You've right. never?
Somewhat later, he basically implies that it was God protecting him, which I think rocks.
Yeah, well, I think Chloe is the one that's like, do you think? Maybe that's what happened? Yeah, and he explains, he says, I didn't abstain out of any sense of morality. When I had opportunities, I wasn't interested. And I was so focused on my studies and my future, I didn't have that many opportunities.
Like, what a dork.
Maybe. You know, in grad, okay, personally, my, like, most debaucherous times were when I was in grad school. Like, I was drunk all the time, like, doing stuff. Like, I just, that feels, like, were you really such a good at two-shoes that you weren't having fun in grad school? You were really just in the library?
Yeah, I think he was.
Like, even I was a super good at two-shoes, and even I didn't do that.
Yeah, I such an interesting choice.
And I think it's a really strong, because I assumed it was going to be like, oh, I did have experience.
Right.
But now I'm, you know, and I wish that I had saved myself. Like, I thought they were going to go that route with
it.
But no, they didn't.
I feel like Chloe has more experience than him.
It kind of is implied.
I also do like that Buck has this insane thought, which is so psyop-y, which is, I never thought of it that way, but it very well could be responding to God protecting him. I've never had to worry about disease and all the emotional stuff that goes with intimate relationships.
This is such a Christian talking point thing. Like, if you have sex, you will get a disease and it will destroy
you
emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, guys, it's not to say, like, sex is not a big deal, but it is not like that.
Right.
Like, calm down.
Well, luckily we get to move on to Chloe.
Yes.
But
and Buck Chloe's
is
experience.
So uncomfortable where Chloe's like, well, you showed me yours. Now I need to show you mine. And Buck's like, no,
no,
I don't want to talk about
don't
this.
Don't want to know.
She's like, well, what happens when you fall in love with me? And then you want to know. He's like, then I'll ask. Right now,
and
stop.
And then she's like, but what if it's a deal breaker and you're already in too late? Like, mm-hmm. He's like, okay, fair enough. And she says, basically, she kind of implies that she, I don't know, like, did heavy petting with her boves or something.
Yeah.
She said they weren't the picture of propriety, whatever
right,
that means.
Right.
But that they hadn't had sex.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Like, what does that mean? Did she get filled up a little bit?
Yeah,
Did she get her little boobs touched?
I think that's the most likely the implication. Because I think it's probably like their chaste version of it, right? Like necking in the back of
their necking,
the back of a soda shop or something like that.
Yeah,
instead of like blowing some dude under the bleachers or whatever. But but regardless, Chloe is less of a virgin than Buck, and
he's like much less embarrassed to talk about it in general.
Yeah,
and Buck's all like, "Oh, my vapors, I can't being so frank about these things."
Yeah, he's so conservative. He's bucking the natural trend by not fucking. He's too bucked to fuck.
Well, there's the episode title. Too bucked to fuck.
Sorry for the F word.
You put an asterisk in it. It'll be fine.
Who knows what that word is?
Like, again, he's like being like very like squeamish during this whole conversation. And he says, I can interview heads of state, but this kind of frankness is new to me.
Which, again, I think Chloe is being quite forward, even with my
wow, that Tim is on Buck's side?
Hey.
She's being quite – this young lady is being quite forward.
I'm saying that in a positive way. Right. Where good
like,
for her.
She's just being frank. Like,
she's just being a person.
Yeah.
And especially for this book and for this time and yada, yada, yada. The fact that she's the quote unquote aggressor
yes.
of both of the conversation and is also the more experienced of the two of them while being a third his age.
Well, and I think this plays into the whole like, Chloe's not like the other girl.
Right.
It's like, she just says what's on her mind. She speaks frankly and
she
whatever.
Says, she's not as much of a slut as the other ones while being wanton.
She wears jeans and a sweatshirt while she asked if her 30-year-old boyfriend is a virgin.
Jesus, that rocks. Chloe rocks now.
And she says something that was pretty funny and like kind of a good point, which is, what are the odds that two unmarried people are taking a walk at midnight in America and both of them are virgins? And Buck says, especially after all the Christians were taken away.
Which... hilarious. I mean, it's fun. That's funny.
Like, honestly, you're right. Probably pretty low odds that this is happening.
Let's break kayfabe. That's a good bit. That's not just us being like, hell yeah, it rocks when Chloe's shrieking. It's like, no, that's a funny line.
Yeah.
Good. That's again why these books are essentially good airplane.
They are.
Books
no, they're
for two reasons.
They're pictures. So, cut back to Rayford. It's about 1 a.m., and he can't help but he hears the front door open, and when Chloe comes upstairs, he's immediately, like, interrogating her, like,
so funny.
Did he kiss you? Did he hold your hand? Which I also thought was great dad move and cute to me, because he said it in, like, not a, like, did he do this?
Yeah.
I'm going to kill him.
He's just razzing her,
yeah. Like, because he's, like, obviously rooting for them to get together, so I think he, like kind of wanted him to do it.
Yeah, like neck my daughter.
And Chloe's like, ew, Dad, no! And Chloe once again is like, hey, Dad, just confirm for me that you did not send those flowers. And he's like, I did not.
Nope, not me.
And then Rayford has the exact same thought of like, is it Bruce? Which, can we just pause for a second? Mm-hmm. Why is no one thinking that maybe Hattie's doing a prank?
Yeah, when they were talking about it has to be this person, I was like, oh, they're going to say Hattie. They said Bruce, which I think from their perspective, that makes more sense because they don't know about the pranks and they don't know about how she is still kind of involved.
But Rayford knows about the pranks.
Yeah.
They had a whole conversation about it.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that Buck saw her recently, which doesn't really change it that much, but like...
Yeah, I don't really know why Hattie would do it exactly.
So I think Hattie did it, and this is not me remembering, because... And send it anonymous to help set them up.
Oh.
Like,
okay.
Chloe would have assumed that Buck sent
them. Right, and then she's like, got me flowers.
Also don't remember what the card said, but I'm glad they confirmed that it was anonymous, because I was nervous, based off the way it was kind of framed last time, was that Chloe just saw it, freaked out, and threw him in the trash.
And didn't look at it.
Before it was like, oh, this is from your old friend Greg from middle school. I'm super sorry that your family died. I'm gay. But I'm sorry,
this doesn't mean anything.
This doesn't mean anything. I'm gay.
What if it was like, this is from Nikolai Carpathia, the Antichrist?
From the desk of Nikolai Carpathia.
Antichrist of the world.
CPA. Yeah, so Chloe's like, oh my God, how am I going to take this job? And Raven's like, shut up, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But what if, you know, he just did this to get in my pants? Shut up, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Oh my God, what should I do? Should I still take the job? Shut up, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
It's already tomorrow. Go to bed.
Which... hey, you know, this is Chloe's redemption arc, so I'm gonna take her chattiness here, where it's just a couple words, no, good night, couple words, yeah. No, good night, back and forth with Rayford as, precocious?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than her being, like, sullen and, like, constantly combative, so
especially
I'll
because
take this.
Buck and Rayford are so rigid, for the most part.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah, they're two old codgers. The word codgers comes up a lot in these books, which I assume is because they were written by old codgers.
Yeah, very true, very true.
So they're like, well, I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Well, good luck.
When I go meet with Bruce, if he actually did send me flowers or not, we'll see.
And they say at some point of, like, wait, should I talk to him? I was like, no. Because again, you are jumping to conclusions. If he said it to anonymous, then he's a big enough boy to bring it up. So you just go in, act like nothing's the matter. Because why would you assume he sent it?
Exactly. Because if you go in being like, did you send me flowers and he didn't? That's like super embarrassing.
Because that is kind of the implication is Chloe's like, God damn it. Why am I just so hot?
Why is everyone in love with me?
My milkshake brings all the Christian boys to my three-story walk-up.
Yes. So the next morning, Buck is going home and he's slept in. I think they specifically talk about that because it says when the phone rang, it's mid-morning.
Yeah.
Because he was up so late.
The night before, he's like, I gotta go. I got a call I need to be ready for. And then it's like, Buck slept late as fuck.
Yeah. It's Stan and Bailey from the Global Weekly, and he, of course he fucking loves Buck's cover story.
Oh my God, so
like the way that they, again, the way that they talk about Buck Fry, it's like, well, this is obviously an award winner. Like, really? Are you sure? It sounds boring to me.
Yeah, I'm just so curious how he's able to write an award-winning piece that is just an objective sort of look at this thing.
Yeah, that sounds boring as fuck.
Yeah, like, there's no heart. There's no spice.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't sound like an interesting story at all. Because it's like, if it's supposedly being all, you know, fair and balanced and, you know, and he's not taking a side, like, that's not an interesting story. That's just a summary.
Right. Absolutely.
That's not an article.
I'm sure... it could be very well written and things of that nature. So, you know, I'll suspend some disbelief, so to speak, and assume that they're not lying and that he is the best boy.
I guess.
Sure.
So can you read what Stanton Bailey says about the article?
I thought it was real good of you not to make the alien cooks and the religious wackos look stupid. Everybody's got a right to his own opinion, right?
Just extremely
funny. I love Stanton Bailey.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, he's pretty funny and good. And telling Buck to his face that he is a wacko, basically, is pretty great.
Yeah.
Because Buck's being such a good boy with all his writing, Stanton is like, don't worry, buddy. We're not going to keep you in Chicago for a long.
Right.
Hopefully your lease is not for super long.
Yeah. And Buck's like, I kind of want to stay here. Haha, good one. Anyways, let's talk about this when your lease is over. And
Sam Bailey's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not even hearing you. You obviously want to be back in New York.
The constant Chicago hate. Again, is there an inside joke between the authors and why they hate Chicago so much?
They're disrespecting Chicago so much. And Stanton's is another thing that kind of makes me laugh, because he brings up Verna Z, the one that Buck had been sparring with, and he tells him to stay out of that little gal's hair. It's very inappropriate.
You can't do that. You can't do that anymore.
She's the head of the Chicago, like, office now. He calls her a little gal. Come on, Stanton Bailey. You can't do that.
To quote James Marsden, he called some bitch sweetheart. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. You can't do that, Stanton.
Oh, man. You're being crazy, Stanton Bailey. Buck and Stanton then talk about coverage for the whole UN-Israel treaty thing. And Stanton says that he had been planning to put the religion editor on it. Because to him, anything about Israel is religious.
Right. And it was just kind of silly. Cause
that feels problematic.
Yeah, because I don't feel like that's the way we look at it now.
No, not at all.
But maybe we did back then. Well, I think we very much did back then, because it was like less the two states and more, you know, the Jews versus the Muslims and you know, the Dome of the Rock type
shit. Right.
Which again is why I thought George Bush, since he was a good Christian, should have blown up the Dome of the Rock so that we could build the temple so that we could have the end times.
Then we just like make it happen.
Exactly.
To force it. Blunt force the end times.
Anyone who says they're a Christian and the president and does not bomb a mosque, this specific mosque, as opposed to all the other mosques they bomb.
Right.
You know? Like Obama will try to get close, you know, gotta give it up. But like anyone who doesn't blow up that specific one, they can't say they're a Christian.
Yeah, you're not a real Christian.
And sure, every single school teacher at my Christian school looked at me with a confused face.
Yeah, that's bad when even the Christian teachers at the Christian school are like, okay, you're going a little hard here.
I'm sorry. I was just so rational.
You're being crazy, Tim Lanning. Guys, I'm sorry. I cannot stop quoting the I Think You Should Leave. You're Being Crazy Frankenstein skit. I'm not going to stop.
Nor should you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Buck's like, okay, I don't think the treaty part is a religion of story, but the two witnesses, now that's a story.
Those fucking crazy guys. Yeah. Let's go.
And Sam Bailey points out here that they say that the two witnesses say it's not going to rain in Israel for 3.5 years. So weird. That's half of seven.
Yeah.
Half of 7 years.
I don't remember if that's come up yet, but like, I love that they're saying it. And Stanton Bailey's like, and it hasn't rained yet. Isn't that crazy? Goddamn. So hopefully Buck, using all his powers, will be able to get to talking to him. But Bailey's like, bro, you can't talk to those motherfuckers. Everyone that tries dies.
They're going to freaking belch fire onto you. And he makes a funny little joke about them having halitosis.
Exactly. Stanton is written so well here.
Yeah, Stanton's a real one, actually. Yeah. I've decided. I think he rules.
And as you said before, it's so clippy.
Yes.
In the way, because he's kind of just like,
he's a news guy.
Right. He's barreling over Buck with the force of his like own personality, which rules.
He does give me big, I want pictures of Spider-Man.
Yes.
Energy.
Absolutely. Yeah, less hardcore, more funny than J. Jonah, but very much, give me his picture of Spider-Man.
Like, I just see him behind his desk, like, chewing on a cigar.
Yes, very much that.
Like, he's got a secret stash of whiskey in his desk.
Probably not even secret.
Yeah, probably just, like, bring
it out.
Well,
he has, like, the secret stash of whiskey, but then he has, like, the real nice whiskey, but then when he gets mad, so he pulls out, like, the Jim Beam and just
just fucking houses it.
Yeah.
I want to party with Stanton Bailey. I feel like I want to get him, like, a little drunk and, like, get stories out of him.
Was Stanton Bailey on Epstein's plane?
Uh-oh.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe he didn't do anything, but he also, like, he saw stuff.
Yeah.
He saw things.
Just not gonna look over that corner. Bill Gates, you crazy.
Bill Gates, you're being crazy.
You're being crazy right now.
Oh, man. Fuck, what's his name?
Bailey.
No. Stephen Hawking, you're being crazy on this plane. On Epstein's plane.
Is it assumed that he was on
it? He was on the plane.
Cool.
Yes, yeah, Stephen Hawking absolutely went to Epstein's Island.
Well, you know.
Isn't that fun?
Are you going to say no?
So Stanton Bailey makes a little ha-ha. They've got halitosis. The two witnesses blast and fire. And Buck's like, internally, like, that's not funny.
That's not funny, you bitch.
Those are my friends.
Those are my friends. And I'm not a wacko. And just because my friends are shooting fire from their mouths, it's not that weird.
It's not that weird. It's normal for Christians to do this.
And now I'm excited that Buck's like, I'm going to be the best boy. I'm going to interview these two psychopaths.
Yeah, they're going to be cool with me doing it.
Yeah, because, I mean, come on. You know, sure, it's in the Bible, but in any world, no Christian would like two ragged guys walking out from the woods and screaming.
Yeah, as if they would not be immediately calling the cops on them.
Yeah, they would be killed. If this happened in America, they'd be absolutely killed.
Yeah, they'd be tased. They'd be like put them in a chokehold. They'd like pull out their gun and shoot themselves in the foot first by accident, and then shoot them.
For some reason, five dogs would wander in. They kill them.
Yeah, all the dogs are gonna be killed. Also, yeah, for so sure.
But it is.
They'd be like, I am having a fentanyl overdose because these guys got fentanyl all over them.
It is, you know, you can't make this up, folks. You know, they're shooting fentanyl from their mouths. If this actually happens, and I mean, of course, they won't come into America because America's not in the Bible.
It's not. Part. Yeah, yeah. America won't play a big part in this. That's what we've been told.
If
by
this
Bruce.
Were to happen, absolutely, the cops would kill the fuck out of these guys. I know you're saying they can't die. Who do you think is more powerful? The NYPD and their team of lawyers and their ability to not rat any other cops out or the Lord? Come on.
Come on. We know that the cop unions are more powerful. Come on.
The entire precinct, the entire cast of Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been murdered today as one of Jake's classic pranks pissed off the forest man. Yeah, no, it is really funny. And it's not like super worth drilling down into because Christians aren't that unique in this, but like, come on, man. When you see someone screaming the side of the road, you roll the windows
like,
up.
Whoop.
You put your freaking headphones
in.
I did not see that.
They're having a mental health moment, and I'm going to ignore it.
This is Reagan's fault and not mine. I'm crossing the street.
If I thought about this too deeply every day, I would beep. So
I'm acting crazy Frankenstein.
Yeah, I am acting crazy Frankenstein. So Buck does mention here, because they started talking about the whole, like, going over to Israel. But mentions that actually Carpathia has offered to bring Buck over as part of his contingent. And Bailey's like, that seems not great for objectivity.
Right. Which is good because that's basically what Buck said when he talked to Nikolai.
But I do like that Buck's like, you have to trust me, sir. I have never traded favors. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, you said it, so all right. It's fine now.
We know he's a virgin, so he's never been like, I'll give you the top story if you touch it.
If you you know, because he's scared. He doesn't want anyone to touch it.
Ah, what's that?
What are you doing? That's my no-no zone.
Buck wearing a fucking shirt at the fucking...
The pool? Yeah, 100%.
You see his, like, six pack through it. It's like, what's his deal? He's shy.
He's just a shy guy.
He ran away from me when I asked him how his day's going.
I thought it was also very funny and also another side of Stanton Bailey being a real one. They said first, like, I don't like this idea. And then he's like, but if you're at the signing and you wear, like, a patch on your jacket that says it's from the Global Weekly, then I do like it.
Yeah, that was really funny.
He says, I don't want you owing Carpathia any favors, but there's not much I wouldn't do to see you peeking over his shoulder when he signs that treaty.
Yeah, I thought it also implies that, like, all right, put a fucking sticker in your pocket, and then right at the end, put it on there.
Slap it on!
That's kind of bullshit. And then Stan's like, Carpathia is a politician.
Come on,
he's
going to
respect the game, absolutely.
Yeah. Stanton Bailey might be the best character in this book.
Sure, absolutely.
So far, anyway.
Yeah. Chapter 10.
Still in books.
Halfway done.
Halfway done with the book.
Well, I guess like a couple bullet points into this.
So Buck goes home and he immediately gets a pissed off email from the religion editor whose name is James Borland. He thinks, because I don't even think we really, well, we did talk about it a little bit, basically that Stanton Bailey was going to assign the cover story to the religion editor, and that's when Buck's like, I don't know if it's really a religion story.
Right, we got folks on the religion stuff.
So apparently what happens from that is that Bailey's like, okay, you're right, and tries to assign the story to Buck instead of to Jim Borland, the religion editor. And Jim is not happy about it, which makes sense. He thinks Buck's trying to steal the cover stories, and Buck's like, I gotta call this guy and set the record straight.
Yeah.
But Jimmy is being a real hater. He is not, like, excited about hearing whatever the fuck Buck has to say.
I was kind of surprised by this section because I thought this was a moment for some self-reflection on Buck. In a little bit of quote-unquote character advancement, meaning where, like, when they go back and forth, because his email is, like, James Borland's email is, like, I don't know him. I can't call him Jim.
they start calling him Jim. They're Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy. you know, he's like, you motherfucker, just because I've never written a cover story doesn't mean I can't. How am I supposed to ever do it if I don't get the opportunity?
Right.
Good for you. You get another fucking trophy on the case.
Yeah.
And so when Buck calls, it's a little standoffish, but I really, and he, at one point he's like, wow, jealous much in his brain.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a prime time for Buck to be like, God damn. I guess I was kind of a prick.
Yeah.
And now that I'm a Christian, I want to act better. But he doesn't.
No, because he's the best boy in the world. And, right. Obviously he deserved all those cover stories. Like, and there couldn't be anything that's like giving him,
right.
You know, a one up on anyone.
Right. He was always in the right with everything he did. He pulled himself up by his own bootstraps.
Yes.
So that's good. Maybe he'll come up later where he's like, oh man, I did a number on these motherfuckers. Am I a bad guy?
Maybe. I don't know.
So the whole vibe, though, that Buck pitches this dude on, because, again, he did scoop him, is, tell you what, I'll do your chores, and I'll tell Stanton to give you the cover story. Just give me your chores. And the guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Why are you trying to trick me? You've obviously got some ulterior motive.
He literally says, this is like Tom Sawyer tricking someone into painting the fence.
Funny. To be fair, yeah, why would he? Like, because to him, he's like, these other stories are kind of boring. Right.
And
so you're turning down a cover story.
Right. And the other thing that is kind of funny to me is that, like, Buck is going to get all of these religion stories during the fucking tribulation, and they're all going to be bangers. And this guy's gonna be so pissed.
He's gonna be like, he got me! How did he get me?
How did he buck me?
How do you know?
So, like, that, I'm kind of curious what's gonna happen, because, like, the guy is like, there's no way that there's going to be a one-world religion, the two kooks won't be able to do anything, because you can't talk to them, and the new pope, well, that's old news.
And Buck's like, wait a second, I don't know anything about what's going on with this new pope.
And the new guy was like, good, you're an idiot. And it's Archbishop Matthews from Cincinnati.
That's the one that Buck interviewed before that Buck totally owned by like, well, what about these Bible verses about being saved through faith and not by works?
Whoa.
So apparently, yeah, that guy, the one who's like, I think all the evil people were raptured, is the one that is most in line to be the new pope.
And of course, like, the one Catholic they showed who said some, like, crazy stuff is going to be the Pope. It's like, yes, this is King of Catholics, how evil they all are. Yes, we did it. We love it.
Yeah, Jimmy Steele is like, okay, like, you're kind of explaining, like, why you want these things, but I still don't quite get it.
Right.
And
I don't think he really tells them.
No, he doesn't really, but the guy does say, wait a minute, Buck. You're not one of the suckers buying into the prophetic, apocalyptic, all this has been foretold in the Bible theories, are you?
Oh, yes.
Buck's like,
credit, I'm not a wacko.
I'm not a wacko.
And then he's like, well, what do you think? Because he's like, I'm not quite ready to tell people that I'm a Jesus freak quite yet. So
he's not being brave with his message.
He's hiding his bushel.
He's hiding his light under a bushel.
And then Jimmy's like, next you're going to tell me the treaty proves Carpathius the Antichrist.
Wow. And inside, Buck's just like,
It is funny, like, their religion reporter is like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And then he's like, so what do you believe? He's like, I believe God's in all of us. And then Buck says some stupid shit, like, Reddit-ass atheist shit. Of like, oh, so if everyone got raptured, that means God is smaller now? And then Jimmy's like, come on now, shut up.
I'm like, you're being too literal.
You're being too literal, Buck. You're an idiot. And then Buck's like, you're right. Anyways, give me your garbage.
And they finally agree on it. They're like, okay, deal.
Because again, Buck can't, like, give him the cover story, but what he's promising is, by way of apologizing, he's going to take his beat, and also he's going to push Stanton to make him be the cover story during the thing. So, good luck to him, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll work out fine. Meanwhile, Brayford's watching the news. Which is where we find out, and we talked about this before, like, why are they talking about, like, they think Air Force One, like, why does this matter with Carpathia, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because the president has decided, actually, I think the people who should be on the maiden voyage of this new fancy Air Force One are Nikolai Carpathia and the rest of the UN contingent.
Cool.
President Fitzhugh, it seems like he's in love with Carpathia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's like, I'm a straight shooter, Buck, and I'm all about friggin' Nikolai Carpathia.
President Fitzhugh makes a statement on the news.
He says, listen, Jack, I also call upon my colleagues around the globe to seriously study the Carpathia disarmament proposal. Strong defense has been a sacred cow in our country for generations, but I'm sure we all agree that the time for a true weaponless peace is long past due.
I feel he's so Democrat coded.
Like, oh yeah, because they show him. He looks mad when he's talking. He's like, "Why are people being weird about it? I'm doing a nice thing. You can't do a nice thing anymore.
You can't just give the head of the UN your plane.
You can't tell a woman she looks nice in her dress.
And you can't give your buddy Air Force One.
Listen,
without everyone losing their minds.
I mean, it's legitimately strange, and I am really glad that
I don't understand why it's that big of a deal. It's just a fucking plane.
It's so weird, but like everything with heads of state is all like fake and pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, that's true.
And like this is literally a spit in the face of the hard work and American people.
That's our tax dollars.
Right, right.
You're flying the Antichrist around.
All I wanted to do was fly that president, not that other one. Goddamn.
I do assume that, well, what the UN contingent should do is bug that plane.
Oh.
They use it so that they can keep an eye on what's going on.
Absolutely.
Now, will they do that? Does he need to do that? Does he need to do that? Carpathia can scry? Like, I don't know what he can do.
Yeah, at this point, I don't think he can scry, but who's to say?
I bet he'll be able to.
He might be able to scry. Well, if he could scry, he could see Buck going to church. And
oh, that's true. That's a good point.
We don't like that.
Yeah, he needs more power. He needs to sacrifice several hogs. On the altar at the temple.
As we're always saying, more hogs. I know, and it is funny because the news is blaring this and it's whatever, but then Chloe comes down, what the fuck's going on? What's up? And Raver's like, shut up.
I'm watching the news,
but watch this.
But he also thinks to himself that he is sure now than ever that he does not want to take the pilot job for Air Force One because he'd be flying Carpathia around. He's before, like, no, thank you.
Before you can witness the president, it's like, all right.
Maybe.
Ray, you gotta be crazy for this one. You gotta witness the Antichrist.
What if he did it hard enough, maybe it'd work.
Right. Again, this is what we talked about on another episode. The Antichrist does not have the option of being a Christian. Therefore, wow, that's fucked up.
We're back with Buck now, and Alice calls him to let him know, like, hey, Sam Billy is trying to get in touch with you.
Grumpy Gus.
Yeah. But you know who's not a grumpy Gus? Verna Z, because she knows that Bailey is looking for Buck, and she thinks that Buck is in trouble.
She's like, Alice is like, yeah, Verna thinks that your friggin' disappearance story sucks, and you're getting fired. And then Buck's like, it's the opposite of that. I fucking killed that shit.
But don't tell her that.
Don't tell her that. I hate her. I'm supposed to stay out of her hair.
That little lady's hair.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also not going to tell you how the other crazy bitch in my life thought that you were engaged.
She does intentionally be like, I'm just going to not go there. She doesn't need to know that. Buck calls. Oh, he gets Marge. We were missing Marge.
I miss Marge so hard.
I wish she was in the chapter more, but we do get to see Marge for a hot second. Like,
oh, Buck, where you been, man? I miss you.
And he's like, long story. I'll tell you later. Because I guess she doesn't really know why.
No,
shipped off to Chicago.
So the Antichrist killed two dudes, one bullet. I know it sounds crazy, but it happened.
Yeah, we already know this has happened one time in the past with JFK. So yeah, so Marge is all like, oh yeah, Stanton and Jimmy are in there yelling at each other, and I'll tell them to call you back, and he's like, I think I might be kind of the reason why they're yelling, so why don't you go ahead and let them know I'm on the phone.
Do you often hear Stanton Bailey yell? Only twice a day.
I thought that was funny too. Stanton's a king.
Yeah, we love Stanton.
So when he does really get on the phone with Stanton, Stanton is not happy, and he's like, Williams, you got a lot of nerve acting like the executive editor. You're not.
Yeah.
Because he takes it as like Buck has like unilaterally given this story to Borland.
And it's really hilarious because Buck's like, I didn't say that. And at the exact same time, Jimmy's like, he didn't say that.
They have to work that out.
And he's like, all right, if you want to take Jimmy's garbage, you can.
Fine,
and I love that he literally says it's garbage. Like, yeah. Hey.
And Jimmy's like, well, you're calling my job garbage? What the hell? Like,
shut up, Jimmy.
Okay. the cuts in this are killing me. Like, it's just, I feel like they, like, get up to momentum and then they switch to the other person and I hate it.
Well, because they get to the end of their quote-unquote story, so there's not anything else going on with them. So it's like mini vignettes.
Yeah. So Riri is just, like, chilling by himself at home in this section while Chloe goes to the church to talk with Bruce about the job, potentially the flowers. We don't know.
I was too awkward, and now we are dating. I am dating Bruce. A little hypocritical since I didn't want to share you, but now, too late.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm dating both of you. I don't really want to date Bruce, but I couldn't tell him no.
So, it's awkward.
since Rayford is alone, he obviously is immediately sad and thinking about Irene and Raimi again, which, you know, fair enough. Like, right. House gets empty and quiet.
He keeps finding their shit everywhere.
Yeah, oh, you got to find Raimi's candy in the couch. That would be sad.
Like, oh, no.
Like, little pieces and things.
Oh, no.
I thought this was an interesting thought from him here.
Yeah. His grief was more melancholic than painful now. The clothes...
That's a typo on Jennifer's part. My bad. I'm dictating this from the book, so...
The closer he grew to God, the more he looked forward to being with him and Irene and Raimi after the glorious appearing.
So he's like... So now it is kind of interesting, because in this world, like, after he gets sort of the initial grief, it's like, well, I'm going to see him again in, like, 7 years.
Yeah, so it's like a kind of interesting look at male grief, I guess you could say, maybe.
Yeah.
And how he's, like, not avoiding it, and he's kind of working through it. Something I think we can all learn from.
Yeah.
Look at him go.
So Rayford decides to be the number one best dad in the world and make Chloe's favorite meal, shrimp scampi!
Yeah.
He loves it! And I'm just imagining Rayford in, like, little roughly apron. Yeah. He's buzzing around.
Yeah, the five pots going boiling over, flour on his face for some reason.
Yeah, I don't think there's flour in shrimp scampi, but...
I'd be surprised.
And Rayford has an interesting thought here as well, which is, he found himself identifying with Irene, remembering the hopeful expression on her face almost every night in regard to her cooking. And he has a whole, like, damn, I wasn't nice enough about this. Yeah. I should have told her thank you and, like, given her compliments more.
Right, and they did a kind of subtle good choice of being like, I still thanked her and gave her compliments, but you can tell that I wasn't, you know, put my whole ass into it.
Right, it was kind of perfunctory.
And I thought that was, you know, there's a maturity to that.
Yeah.
That so often people are like, well, I did the thing.
Yeah. No, it was personal growth.
Yeah.
And Rayford admits himself, now there was no way to make it up to Irene except to show up in the kingdom himself with Chloe alongside.
I mean, that's
gonna
feel
going
great.
To.
That's
he's
going to
do
great.
It. Like, he's already succeeded in that.
Look what I did. I listened to you. Look, we're both here now. But most likely, he's just going to show up to heaven with, like, a big bullet wound in the back of his head.
Yeah, his face fully blown off.
Like, hey, I'm a Christian. Like, what happened to you? Oh, you don't want to know.
it's not chill.
I got thrown out of a helicopter and I landed on a gun.
On top of a gun.
Yeah, I was crazy. The left behind's been crazy. Oof.
So back over to Buck. He's gotten things straightened out with Stanton Bailey and Jim Borland. And so now he's going to get to work on his little religion stories. And he's thinking about how, like, I've actually got some real cool shit to be working on, because it's possible that he's sitting on the direct fulfillment of centuries-old prophecies.
Exactly. So you're going to buck this dude as the literal Bible is being fruitioned on the planet. He's going to be so pissed at you. But he's not going to become a Christian.
Probably not. So Buck gives Steve Plank a call to kind of check in with him. And, like, of course, Steve's like, so you got an answer for him?
Let's go.
He's like, not yet.
No.
Not yet. They end up kind of talking about Hattie and, like, how Buck introduced Hattie to Carpathia. And, like, I guess Steve can kind of tell that Buck's, like, feeling weird about it.
Right.
And he says, you regret it? You provided a world leader with someone he adores, and you changed Hattie's life forever. And Buck's like, that's what I'm afraid of.
And Buck, Steve's like, huh?
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Hattie was trash before you introduced her. She was nothing.
She was literally nothing, and now she's the secretary to the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah, look at him. And he says that they hang out just as much at work and after work.
Yes, which is interesting.
So what do you think's happening there?
They boning.
They boning.
When you getting pregnant, Hattie, with that Antichrist baby, no, I know you want to.
It's going to just have horns.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's not. Yeah, it's going to have a little tail. It's going to come out with a bit. It's actually going to come out pitchfork first.
It's like,
which is pretty uncomfortable.
Here's a pitchfork? Like, okay. Not sure how that happened.
It, like, instead of a baby rattle, it's like a little pitchfork.
That's so cute.
Steve is kind of giving Buck a hard time again about, like, putting off the offer, and Buck is like, I'm a journalist, Steve, not a public relations guy. Steve's all, like, offended, but it's like, bro.
Bro.
You are a public relations guy.
Aren't you,
guy.
Like, explicitly a public
you
relations guy?
You literally are his PR guy. Come on. You can't really get mad about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he still gets pissed at him. He's like, you're an idiot.
So, then Buck clarifies, like, hey, I really still want to go to Israel, and I want to be there at the signing,
right.
But I can't be in your contingent.
Yeah.
And Steve's like, well, don't you want to be on Air Force One?
And the Buck's like, what the
what
fuck?
What are you talking about? And he's like, okay, Mr. Serious News Guy, you don't even know about this.
Right, because Buck hadn't heard the news of the Air Force One, and he's like, oh my God, this is crazy. My life is a movie.
And yeah, my lab a movie. But Buck explains, like, listen, like, I talked to Stan Bailey about it, and he's like, not cool with it. And Steve is like, you did what? You told Stan Bailey about it? He's like, I didn't tell him about the job offer, just
which is
the flying part.
So stupid, Steve. You, like, just expect Buck to show up, but Steve is kind of like, hey man, sure, most of these plans were based off you immediately taking the job.
Yeah, yeah, like, I didn't think this was going to be an issue, because I thought
right.
You could just take the job.
You won't have to do anything shady if you just took the job, Buck.
And then it's like one final dig before they get off the phone. Steve says, anyway, remember your big shot predictions about a new one world currency? That it would never happen? Watch the news tomorrow, pal. And remember that it was all Nikolai Carpathia's doing. Diplomacy behind the scenes. Click.
Hell yeah. Like, owned, I guess?
This,
I don't know.
This is also why I'm like, I gotta read the next chapters. Please, God, get me to the one world currency. I
yeah.
am dying.
I mean, I guess the Israel stuff will be the climax, right? I mean, we're close. To, like,
yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Yeah. I guess we're halfway through. They're gonna probably meet in the church a few times. Buck and
well, they gotta have their sex talk at church.
Their sex talk. Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna happen tonight.
I hope they start and Claire goes, no.
Never mind. Things have changed. I don't need this anymore.
I'm good. I saw a pretty hilarious episode of Ally McBeal, so I'm good, actually.
Yeah, I've learned everything I need to know.
Yeah, and then they go to Israel. Fucking crazy shit happens. Yada, yada, yada. I mean, I don't even know if crazy shit's going to happen in Israel. I'm super curious.
Yeah. So back over to Rafer, who's still on the scampi. He gets a call from Earl, his boss, and Earl wants him to come in, like, right then to talk
right.
to him. Rafer's like, I'm pretty busy with these shrimps right now, so I cannot do it.
Let me hold my phone up to the shrimp. You hear that?
You hear them shrimps?
I'm busy. It's like, wait,
sizzling.
Your daughter's in college. She won't care. Bro, you saw the news. You can fly the Antichrist around the world. Isn't that rad?
Yeah. And this is when Raver's like, listen, man, I'm still praying about it, and I'm not going to be – he doesn't say bullied. What does he say? Like
– cow-tailed. I don't
badgered
know.
Into it or something. He's like, leave me alone. And he promises that he will go talk to Earl at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hell yeah.
Meanwhile, Buck heads to the church to tell – he's finally ready to talk to Bruce and like – fully tell him about the whole meeting with Carpathia, because he hasn't even done that
yet. Yeah, I mean, it's so confusing and goofy of, like, the when can I tell this person, can I tell this person?
Yeah, you've really got yourself a complicated, twisted web here.
Right.
But as Buck is pulling into the church parking lot, guess who's pulling out?
Chloe.
And they have a cute little conversation, like, oh, like, you like this church?
Hey, little lady.
Yeah. Buck asks Chloe how it went with Bruce, and she's like, I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah.
Like, come on, I want to know.
So many, I'll tell you about it later.
Two of them, like, right at the end, both about the Bruce thing. And I was like, okay, yeah. Fine, I want to read the next chapter and
okay,
find out.
On, get it, fuck, Chris.
Buck has a thought here.
Buck couldn't blame Bruce for whatever level of interest he had in Chloe. It just felt strange, competing with your new friend and pastor for a woman.
Okay, Buck, you're still assuming, buddy. We still don't know. But
you're making
out an
ass.
Say that.
You're making an ass out of you and Bruce.
And Chloe.
And Chloe.
So Chloe gets home, and guess what? She smells that shrimp.
Did you order Olive Garden? You made Olive Garden?
Wow!
Let's go!
Chloe's, like, super shocked by this, and Rayford makes a stupid comment. It's like, I just got in touch with my feminine side. Okay, shut up, Rayford.
Shut up, Rayford.
You're backsliding a little bit. You were funny before, but that's enough.
He's old-fashioned. He has some jokes that don't quite, you know,
land
nowadays.
And we get another cliffhanger of Rayford being like, what was happening to Bruce? And he's like, oh, I'll tell you about it.
Oh, I gotta tell you about that next chapter.
The chapter ends.
Man, next chapter. He didn't send him either.
I had to stop myself from just like reading ahead, but I was like, I actually was like, I don't want to know what happens next before we record because I don't want it to bleed into my like, you know, analysis.
Exactly.
So you stopped myself.
The Buck and Chloe stuff is like, we know they get together, but it was like, how long can they keep fucking doing this?
Like
to
chapter
us?
19, they're still fighting.
You fucking asshole.
Yeah, hopefully it's much better now because we're through this whole stupid plot line. And hopefully they get talking about the damn bowls and trumpets again.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to get more into that shit. And I am gagging to literally get to it in the book as well. Like we said before, I hope there's a time jump. I don't know how we're going to fucking deal with.
Yeah, because we're at, like, 4 weeks post-rapture now, and we're halfway through the second book.
We
gotta get moving.
Yeah, the past, like, five chapters, or if not more, have been one day.
Like, a day! Yeah, they've gotta make
pick up the next book, and, like, they had a great 4 months. Chloe's pregnant.
Oh, my God. I need to actually, now I'm like, damn, I think I have the third book, but now I gotta start keeping an eye out for the damn fourth one.
Can I get something off my chest?
Yeah, please.
Due to something that I never thought would happen, the library book was checked out.
What?
Yeah, I...
How? Who checking this out?
First of all, St. Louis Public Library ebook Tribulation Forest readers, let's chat. What do you think? I keep it out for so long.
Make
it's
a Discord
yours now.
For it.
Yeah. So I had to buy it.
You bought it?
I know.
You need to go find a jank one to download?
No, I was so tired of my jank ones not working. I went on Amazon.
How much did it cost?
$11.
Oh my God, it was not worth $11.
I agree with you, but what else am I supposed to fucking do?
I paid $7 for this hard copy.
Did you get that? That's the one you got from the bookstore?
Yeah, I got it from Powell's, so it's a used one.
I guess I could go bookstore.
They like literally have them at the one down at the end of the street. I've seen them.
Maybe I'll go take a walk and be a fucking psychopath. Like, give me all these!
I did feel like a crazy person when I said to the bookstore. I had to feel like I had to be like, this is for research. This is a bit. Literally, actually, both times I've bought Left Behind books, I've like been like, I don't really believe this.
Oh, yeah,
because I felt weird about it. Like, I don't want them to think I'm like a crazy. I don't want them to think I'm a kook.
Yeah, you're some religious wacko buying all these goofy ass books.
No, I'm buying them because they're crazy.
I mean, yeah, I don't like that I did it, but also, who cares?
I mean, Tim LaHaye's dead.
Jenkins is already rich. It's not.
Yeah, I don't think this one $11 is going to do that much. But
dear listener, I'm going to take myself to task. I'm going to friggin' hit myself.
Thank you for holding yourself accountable.
I hold myself accountable, so you actually can't be mad at me.
Yeah, I am your accountability partner in this regard.
Really. Maybe it was Satan renting those books out so that I had to buy it.
Wow. Right. Wait, wouldn't that be technically God doing it so that you had to buy it and so you had to support Tim LaHaye?
I don't know anymore. I don't really know anymore. I don't think God likes Tim LaHaye. Like,
I do not think he does. I don't think God's real.
Like,
if God is real, he definitely doesn't like Tim
LaHaye. Well, yeah, I think, like, I've never thought that God is the way that Christians are in America.
No.
Like, he doesn't like them.
No.
Obviously. It's so textually there. Why do you think they talk about the Pharisees so much? I cannot believe this is where we live!
Mm-hmm.
We're so obvious!
Yeah, we live in Crazy Town.
It's just the opposite.
A whole crazy country.
Mirror World! Bizarro Town! Up is down, cats and dogs. Anyways, thank you so much for listening to our little show. Tell a friend.
Yeah.
On top of the social media being harder to friggin' manage, you know, getting new voices, things like that, and the fact that we don't use TikTok, which I think is the hotness right now.
Ugh, Tim, I might have to. If one of us is gonna figure out TikTok, it's gonna be you.
I'm just gonna put the entire episodes out.
I don't like that app. I don't like it.
I like to look at it and learn fucked up shit.
Because the problem is that, like, even if a friend sends me one, like, it will immediately show me something weird, and it makes me mad, and I'm like, I want to close this app.
Well, you have to teach it.
I don't.
And it took me forever to teach it.
It's just that I think TikTok's evil.
I've come around to it, but I used to say TikTok should be illegal, but now... but not for the reasons that the government
does. Yeah, I don't think it's evil for the reasons of government. I don't care anything about China or whatever. I think it's evil because it's making people insane.
Yes. You should not have that much access to that many crazy people in that way. Like, you can't accidentally become, like, on Crystal Witch Beef TikTok and then go over to, like, Dude Bro Call of Duty TikTok and how women are ruining video games.
Because the videos are too long. I don't got time for that shit.
Who has more than 7 seconds?
Like, I don't. I just want to skim this. Like,
I saw one today. It was
taking,
like,
so long.
5 minutes. I'm like, who's ever watched a 5 minute video?
Not me.
All I have to say is things are weird. And as we've said before, this is not an SEO friendly show. Mostly because the people that are Googling this like it.
Yeah. When are we gonna accidentally get one person that's like, I thought this would be about.
Oh shit. Yeah. I remember pretty early on, someone was being shitty at us for being anti-religion. I haven't checked our reviews in a while.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be someone who thought it was going to be like,
oops,
a real book club, and then they were sorely disappointed.
Oops. But thank you so much. So tell a friend. Feel free to join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/contenthole. It serves as Jennifer and I's piggy bank for all of our content creation special things. So there's lots of exclusive things
we recently talked about the new Spider-Verse movie. We talked about The Sopranos. We talked about Chainsaw Man. We did all sorts of stuff on there.
Yeah. You can follow the show on Twitter at TribFarcePod or Instagram. Haven't logged into that in who knows how long. Or shoot us an email at TribulationFarce@gmail.com. We've gotten so many great emails, and I just feel like I have to say that every week because we don't read them on air. But I think everyone's has been so good, so interesting. It's really great that there's so many – actually, it's bad that there's so many like-minded people because you're sharing the similar vibes.
It's like, oh, you're also traumatized by religion.
Yeah.
But hey – we can be traumatized together and make fun of this shit.
Absolutely. We love you.
Therapeutically.
We love you.
We love you so much.
Like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye. You're being crazy, Frankenstein. You're being crazy, Frankenstein.
They could just slip with Frankenstein's chick.
It's so good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.